Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Oh, g'day, man. There you go. Canon Films presents Platoon Leader, starring Michael Dudikoff, Bill Smith, Rick Fitz, and many more here tonight on the one and only Lethal Mullet Podcast. We chat about it tonight. Here we go.
Tango Lima Zebra. Tango Lima Zebra. I think that's right. Tango Lima. Lima Zebra. Guys, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you. We're just about over the top of the LZ now.
Yee-hoo. All right, we'll be ready back here at HQ before you come back after your search and destroy, yo.
We'll make time for the lieutenant to leave us some hot dogs and snags inside there.
You bet they're there. All right, sir. Over.
G'day, mate. How you going? This is Lethal Mullet here at Quinlan's Cantina, the Gold Coast of Australia. Yes, I'm Adam O'Brien, and tonight we're going to be chatting a Vietnam film, which has been a long while for me to try and find, and I can tell you, it is worth you getting there and finding it as well and watching, because it stars Michael Dudikoff. That's right, the American ninja time travels back to the 1960s and, of course, becomes an officer in the United States military. That's right. Lieutenant Jeff Knight, played by Michael Dudikoff, folks, the American Ninja, goes to the 173rd Airborne Brigade in Vietnam. And, of course, this is based on a true story. So there you go. Well, so it should be, because it's Vietnam War. And, of course, you know, the stories from Vietnam are not only harrowing and tragic, and they're also heroic and also very sad at times too, when you consider the amount of effort that was put in by the people over there to fight for the freedoms that you now enjoy. So to all servicemen, whether in the States, New Zealand or Australia that served in, of course, the Vietnam conflict, thank you for your service. But tonight, let's get into it. Canon Films. It come in at a time, of course, where they were making just about every kind of movie you could possibly make. Everything from horror films to martial arts, of course, and the two Chucks, Charlie Bronson, of course, Chuck Norris, they were doing all those. But this is at a time when they were really pumping it and really getting around all the different genres. They'd done science fiction. And at this stage now, they were jumping in like everyone else was in the 80s and making, of course, films about the Vietnam War. Let's look at it very soon here on the show. But before we do that, here's where you can find this show and many others like it. G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You can also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, LethalMulletNetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been a real busy day, you know? Oh, wow.
Right, yeah.
Mate.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, cold beverage. here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
The Vietnam War was something that in the 1980s was well documented in Hollywood films and films in general. You know, it had since probably the early 1970s, right through. Since the end of the war, you know, Hollywood was fascinated with war. It always has been. You know, there's been World War II films. There's even been World War I films and Civil War films, you name it. Conflict is something that they thrive on for drama and thrills and action, all that sort of stuff. Hollywood has forever thrived on the stories of war, you know, the character stories, a lot of it based on real life and all that sort of stuff. But of course, then they go into this area where not only is it action for action's sake, but also just using it as a backdrop for action. And of course, we've got films like Apocalypse Now, which are, you know, when you come down to it, masterpieces of chaos and war. You know, and obviously going down that harrowing and horror story of war and just what it does to people. What is interesting, though, is that as it carried on, like any other genre, it is literally pulled apart by every single studio director and, of course, producer to have their little piece and what they want to say about conflict and stuff like that, too. So we've had some really interesting films, and then we've had some that are probably, you know, made with a third the budget of some as well, and not being even near as interesting. In the VHS era, you know, for every two or three regular action films, there was always a one Vietnam War action film. So we'll be getting into those, you know, soon too, because some of them are quite interesting. Some of them have interesting things to say themselves, but then for every one of those films, you get something like Hamburger Hill, which I think is probably one of the best Vietnam War films. It really shows you, you know, what it was like in terms of, I mean, you know, there's only certain limits classification can do when it comes to, you know, the horror that you see on the screen. But a film like Hamburger Hill, for example, which was intended for television first, then they realized they had something special, and of course it went to film, and it is still probably one of the hardest to watch. You're gripped by it from the start, you know, and I think in some ways it's probably a better film than Platoon, which is, you know, all these are made by you know, people that actually went to Vietnam. Like Oliver Stone was a you know, someone that went to Vietnam as well. He's a veteran, and some of that, a lot of those experiences, like any experience in life, will also inform him as a filmmaker, which is interesting. But Hamburger Hill was, to me, one of the ones that really, really nailed the experience for us as a bird's eye view of what's going on. This film that we're talking about tonight, Platoon Leader, is pretty much Cannon Films' ideal when it comes to trying to get in on that genre, like Cannon Films did. Cannon Films would look at any idea that they could and make some type of movie out of. This, though, worked. It's not too bad. You know, at the end of the day, it is a Cannon film, so you know what you're getting when you're going into it. But Michael Dudikoff has a certain charisma that he's always had in each of the things that I've watched him in. And what's interesting, I think, personally, is that, you know, you're getting what you expect in a Cannon film, but also I think they pushed it further in giving an experience of what they could for the money that they've spent on in a Vietnam War film. So, what's the movie about? So, what's this film all about, folks? Well, I'll tell you what, it's about the Vietnam War for starters. Yeah, well, that's true. Well, you already knew that. It's a 1988 war film directed by Aaron Norris, folks. Who remembers Aaron Norris? Yes, that's right. Aaron Norris is, of course, the younger brother of Carlos Norris. I wonder who that might be. Carlos Norris. Yes. Chuck Norris, folks. That's, of course, one of the many amazing directors that's also directed for the one and only, of course, Chuck Norris. This was filmed in South Africa and, of course, is based very, very loosely on James McDonough's memoir of the same name. Yes. Again, this is something we can definitely look at, I think, folks. So I've never read Platoon Letters, so I might have to go and check it out. Screenplay was by Andrew Deutsch, Rick Marks, David L. Walker, and Harry Allen Towers. Based on, of course, Platoon Leader by the writer we just talked about. Produced by Harry Allen Towers. And, of course, cinematography by Arthur Worcester. And, of course, edited by Michael J. Duthie. And it was distributed by Canon Films in October 1988. It was released on a budget of $1.3 million. So it's basically straight-to-video territory is what we're talking about here, folks. Now, the story itself's pretty straightforward. Lieutenant Jeffrey Knight, which is who the one and only Michael Dudikoff plays, is basically a fresh officer straight out of the United States Military Academy. He's put out to the outpost in Vietnam where he's going to meet his platoon. And of course, these are veterans, extremely tough men that are basically out to finish their duty and go home, finish their tour, as they say. The platoon sergeant there, by the name of McNamara, Sergeant McNamara says that his platoon does not need a leader that follows the base rules of warfare given by, of course, the military academy. And from here, Lieutenant Knight's actions are also basically by all the people completely frowned on, of course. Except for one man by the name of Private Parker. Private Parker is what they call the radio operator, folks. And if you know the radio operator, looks like that little telephone they use. And of course, they're the ones that call in the airlifts and stuff like that too. And of course, use that great speech of Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, etc. Okay. So, Knight goes out on his first patrol and of course, gets in a bit of trouble. He steps on a mine and he's nearly wasted, folks. Nearly DOA, dead on arrival. But, of course, Private Parker radios for an evac, and of course, McNamara orders the troops back to the LZ, and from there they extract it back out to base on the Huey. Now, what's interesting is Lieutenant Knight does a full recovery in the Army Hospital. This is where, of course, Major Flynn comes in and is basically able to take command again. And from here, Knight comes in and is able to get back to his platoon. And of course, the commander in this Major is, of course, Bill Smith. Yes, folks, we're talking about the one and only Conan's dad. Yes, Bill Smith, who's one of the greats, folks. You know, Bill Smith had an amazing physique and was one very, very interesting, actor. Not only actor, but, you know, he's a real physical actor as well as just, doing any role that he was given. He went straight into those characters with the same intensity he did with training and stuff like that. That he did for his, bodybuilding and stuff like that. An amazing presence on screen, whether it's playing a hero or villain. Played a lot of, villainous characters. But from everything like Hell Comes to Frogtown, he plays one of the heavies in that. He's also in, of course, Red Dawn. He plays one of the Russians in that one as well. He's also in some Clint Eastwood films. He was also in going back to Kung Fu with David Carradine and of course the Planet of the Apes TV series, but most will remember him of course for his role on of course Conan. So plays that on, but of course from here back on patrol, the platoon is then attacked by heavy Viet Cong or VC forces. This is where Parker's hit. Now, he's hit by mortar. Now, mortars, of course, are those ground fires. Come from far away, like mini artillery, if you like. But Knight calls the medevac to save Parker. But, of course, Parker's wounds are too harsh. He basically dies there in Knight's arms. From here, McNamara comes. And, of course, he with his own squad, and they repel all boarders and retreat. Back to where Sergeant Roach. And, of course, Sergeant Roach, great character too, carries that pump action shotgun, and of course he is the heaviest, toughest there is soldier, and whoever carries that massive shotgun probably is
Roach wastes the VC easily, and from there, and about a week or two later, Flynn goes to give Knight and his team three new fresh-faced soldiers. And, of course, one is a fresh-faced one by the private by the name of Don Pike. Pike is one that doesn't want to be there. Basically, he's there because, you know, he's trying to dodge stuff in civilian life. And he thinks, you know, it's going to be a walk in the park in Vietnam to get away from all of his troubles. And, of course, from here, Roach takes him out on mind-sweeping detail, which Knight puts him on. And, of course, there's some interesting scenes there where he's told to put his finger into the mine once they find it and hold the safety there. And, of course, then Roach goes, I gotta go and take a piss. Goes and takes a piss, comes back, and basically goes, watch, you snip here, and then the mine's deactivated. Which is really, really cool. Of course, we got Private Baccara, who is played by, of course, Michael DiLorenzo. Now, of course, you might know Michael DiLorenzo from Judgment Night. Of course, he's the character at the start that gets killed in that one. And, of course, sets off the chain of events in that film. But Private Baccara is getting high. And it's something that Knight pulls him up on a number of times, almost killing Knight after he sets off an M79 very close to where he is. And, of course, that's one of those things they used to do in Vietnam. That, somebody didn't like an officer, they would do what they call fragging. And this is one of those events. But later we find that Private Baccara is getting high on patrol. And, of course, when he does, he overdoses. And, of course, when Roach and the others are out on patrol with him, then it comes McNamara. McNamara finds him like that, and he says, this is no way for a soldier to die. Takes the drugs away from the heroin, and, of course, then lays into him with his assault rifle. Just to show that, of course, he went out with dignity. So from here, Knight goes to find that there's VC in the camp. And he, of course, kills him, and, of course, lets him know that the outpost is now under attack. The platoon prepares and, of course, shoots off flares all the ways. Now, this is something that was done in a lot of Vietnam films, that they shot off flares everywhere. And, of course, it's very cinematic and something that was always done, of course, it's for real, obviously, to show where you would find, anything you were looking for, basically. Whether it was, you know, VC come to attack the base or just keep your base under light so that you see what's happening. And, of course, we see this also in mid-scenes in Apocalypse Now. So it's something that always looked amazing on screen, I think, visually for that aesthetic. From here, of course, there's a massive attack, and there's the base being smashed hard. Of course, Sergeant Hayes is putting claymores out, and, of course, Knight calls for airstrike over the top of everything, and they successful in keeping, of course, the VC at bay. But, of course, they suffer massive casualties in trying to keep it away. And from here, Knight, the next morning, just basically feels he can't be a leader anymore. And this is where McNamara comes up and basically tells him, look, you got this far. Now you got to just keep going. And, of course, this is where Captain Kalinske, Lieutenant Riley, and another captain explain that the rest of the VC battalion that they're going off during the night is actually coming close, and they plan to attack the enemy this time. The Knight counters the idea and believes he could work better with this idea. Of course, this is where he comes up with his own idea. And, of course, now that Knight's got the experiences, they go with it too. So from here, Knight's entire group, the platoon, go into position in the jungle, and Knight orders McNamara and the others to go ahead and basically put another platoon just further into another area. Of course, this is all about trying to get ready to ambush another crowd that's coming through. McNamara, though, is not even with it when it comes down to it, because, of course, he gets ambushed. And this is where the other platoon then gets heavily injured. So from here, Knight and, of course, the squad go wank their way up there, fight all the way through, trying to get to McNamara and, of course, get him to LZ and get him to evac. This is where Kalinske goes and, of course, Chassis at Night. And they've got a company, VC, have come through and are attacking the local village. From here, his platoon arrives at the village and, of course, smash the VC at the same time. Platoon is also attacked by mortar fire on the other far side. And this is where, of course, there's heavy casualties around. And, of course, part of that hits Knight himself. But, of course, here's where Roach comes in and basically aids him at the same time. Of course, got to give first aid. Ben Sergeant to the officer there. And, of course, also goes out with the others. From here, this is one of those things where everything comes together. It just really shows the tightness and the hardness of the conflict as well. And of course, Knight's hit hard by shrapnel, and part of it gets in his eye as well. They find after the first aid. And of course, one of the things too here that's interesting is that we got Roach takes a baby from one of the huts that's destroyed there, and it says that the VC were actually after the villagers. They're not there for the soldiers. So once everything calms down, Knight, who's now, of course, recovering, then goes to see McNamara and sees that he's all right. He says to him, they've taken out the village. They've lost it. And, of course, they kept the VC at bay. And he's starting to see what the war really is. Of course, from here, McNamara just needs to rest. Obviously, he's in no state to be on Bredeville. So, a few months then pass, and of course, McNamara comes back to the base. And, of course, this is it's kind of a almost going back to the first thing, where he's now an experienced officer, and Knight has McNamara coming to him now, instead of the other way around at the start of the film. And he says, welcome back to the country club. So what's interesting about this is it's sort of the roles reversed, coming back to each other. And I think what's great about Knight himself as a character is that we're seeing the war through his eyes. He's our window into this story. So the cast, we've got Michael Dudikoff as Lieutenant Jeffrey Knight. Robert F. Lyons as Sergeant Michael McNamara. Now, interesting actor. He's been on TV, films. He's been in Death Wish 2, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, Murphy's Law, and obviously this film as well, too. He's been in TV since about the 1960s, so quite a while. Michael D. Lorenzo, obviously actor, director, writer, producer. Obviously, we talked about some of the stuff he's been. He's really good in this one, I think, too, because he gets enough time for himself to sort of grow the character to the point it needs, that he's so deluded from what is reality. And, of course, he's living in that sort of drug-fueled haze as a character. Jesse Davison plays Private Joshua Parker. Rick Fitz plays Sergeant Robert Hayes. Amazing actor. Rick Fitz, who a lot of you know from, of course, Star Trek and a few other amazing shows. He was on the American soap opera, Generations, as well. Rick Fitz is fantastic in this, and he always is. I think what's great about this one is the character is one that everyone sort of looks to for leadership as well, too, being a sergeant there, too. Tony Pierce as Jan Schultz, Private Jan Schultz. Daniel DeMorest as Private Duffy. Brian Libby as Sergeant Roach. He's great in this. Of course, tough is what I would say. You know, it pulls it off quite well. And, you know, once you see him, you'll know the roles that he's been in. Obviously, Shawshank Redemption comes to mind. Green Mile as well. He's one of the police at the start, I do believe. Or was it the police or the father? I can't remember now. Bill Smith as Major Flynn. El Karaki as Private Kemp. You got Evan Kleeser as Private Larson, Evan Barker as Captain Klinsky, A.G. Smith as Lieutenant Riley, and of course Dean Raphael Ferrandini as the medic. There you go, folks. So, the film itself, I think what's interesting about it is this is with alongside Avenging Force, something completely different for Dudikoff. You know, and I think, you know, it's an interesting one for us to, you know, look at, I think, at the end of the day. So we'll look at the actual real story, folks, here, for example. You know, platoon leader is a real, actual story. So that's what's interesting. It's a story about James R. McDonough, a Vietnam veteran, and takes place in around a fort in a Vietnamese village in Binh Dinh province. And it's a retelling of his time there, basically. He wrote the book as an officer development tool, and this is while he was a battalion commander. So basically, he introduces the story as an American platoon leader in combat. And it starts out with a brief introduction and starts from childhood through to how and why he went into the academy. Of course, that's West Point. Went into Ranger School as well, and also was an infantry officer, but basic course that he went into as well. So it goes into all of that, and of course, you know, it was the basis for what would become the movie. So, what's interesting too about this, of course, he was in command of 2nd Platoon, Bravo Company, 4th Battalion, the 503rd Infantry Airborne. There you go. What's great is having it rooted in that sort of ideal, they could really, like any other movie, they stick into what is, you know, the real facts and stuff like that about it too. And I think what's great is that, you know, it is about getting down to not just the conflict, but it's about the people involved in this, you know. And of course, like any conflict, you know, there's so many soldiers serving and giving their lives in the service of their country to a conflict that, you know, a lot of people to this day, I think, need to give more respect to, you know, and thank these veterans for their service, for the freedoms that you now enjoy out there too. What's great about this film too is, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, it may have been shot in South Africa, but it looks very much like in the Vietnamese provinces that it's meant to be in as well too. For me, Dudikoff, you know, plays the naive young West Point graduate quite well. And, you know, coming out to Vietnam and, of course, getting his experiences and stuff like that as a new commander of the platoon, basically. He's getting those first few experiences. But, you know, like anything, you've got to see it. There's the fact that, you know, it was a time when so many Vietnam pictures were out, you know. There was almost every couple of months you would see a new one on the VHS shelves, you know. But it was certainly interesting. This is one of the few films that Canon Films may have distributed, but it wasn't actually produced by Menahem Golan or Yaron Globus. So you get something interesting. This is some of the trivia, folks. The only film directed by Aaron Norris, but to not have Chuck in it. Interesting. So every other film, Chuck was in. This was originally called NAM before they changed it to Platoon Leader. Of course, this was to cash in on the success of Oliver Stone's Platoon. Interesting. But they were actually thinking of making this with Chuck in mind. Interesting, folks, isn't it? Imagine Chuck in that role. I mean, I could. I mean, he's already done, obviously, Missing in Action. So, you know, it's not far off, you know, getting it there too. So, you know, it's interesting. Put it that way, too. Let's have a look at some of the goofs of the film. There's only one. At the 43-minute mark, the VC and the NVA, the GIs, are using mortars. The sound effect was incorrect. Mortars do not produce a whistle. There you go. It's probably coming from somebody that's been in the military, I'd say, folks. Always good to see when people are sort of brought that way, too, so they know what things really are like. It's like when you watch a lot of these older action films from the 80s and 90s, those massive Beretta sounds and like Die Hard, stuff like that. Most of that was actually, when you think about it, would have been Winchesters or something like that, something bigger, like a rifle. Yeah. Let's have a look at some of the quotes from the film. This is some of the lines. Like anything, there's some really good lines here and there. So, Lieutenant Jeff Knight says, "What's it like?" McNamara says, "What's it like? Yeah, you go out on patrol and you kill a few of them. Then they kill a few of yours. Then you go back to base. Eat, sleep, next day, same thing. Before you know it, you're either dead or you're going." McNary goes, it's good. Welcome to the country club, Sergeant. That's another one. What else we got here? We've got some great little ones here and there. You want to climb over my wire? Welcome to my barbecue, asshole. Yes, some very harsh lines. But it is a war film, folks. It is a war film. All right, so we've looked at some of the quotes. We've looked at some of the trivia now. Of course, you know, what would this be close to? Well, you know, it's at a time of the 80s, you know. There was obviously films are a little bit more, you know, bigger budget. Obviously, films that got a lot more coverage, like, of course, Hamburger Hill, etc. But what's interesting is, you know, this film still has the heart of those, even though it's on a much, much smaller budget. Filming locations were Durban, South Africa. There you go. So, very, very interesting. So, where does this fit? On, of course, the Hallenbach scale, folks. Well, you know what? This film's not too bad, folks. I'm going to give it about 3.75 out of 5 on the Hallenbach scale because not only is it interesting for Dudikoff, I think it being produced outside of, you know, the Golem Globus sort of film registry, if you like, this film itself has, you know, a character to itself, but also it is kind of circular in the way that the story comes. Obviously, it, like Platoon and others, is about, you know, a naive youth going to war and then, of course, basically becoming an old man, you know, becoming a veteran, somebody that obviously, you know, by the experiences of war, becomes very cynical and, of course, world-weary. And I think that's the real heart of the film itself, too. Folks, you owe it to yourself to go and check this film out. Maybe a little bit hard to find out there. It took me a little while to find it. But when you do, it will reward you with an interesting experience, particularly from Canon Films, of course, Michael Dudikoff as well. I'm Oliver Mullet. We'll catch you next time.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. Endzone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good